on it.
Yeah.
God gives it freely.
Yes, He does.
And I thank God tonight for salvation. Salvation means that you have been given from being lost. You know, it means that you haven't been thrown away.
Amen.
You've been salvaged.
Yes, hallelujah.
You made something good out of something that was worth nothing. You have been salvaged. We probably don't mean a whole lot to a lot of people. Some people, nobody means anything to them but them. But we mean a lot to God.
Amen.
God saved us. And God kept us. Tonight I want to look at a scripture that we know very well and won't be long tonight. You've had this scripture in 2 Chronicles and you've heard this scripture so many times until you can repeat it and say it. Tonight's a good time to look at it again. And I want to say a few things before we go there. And it's a scripture in Philippians 3 that says our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven.
Yes.
And when I consider things, and Paul talks about the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Our remedy for whatever ails us.
Yes.
Whatever comes against us. Whatever we're up against or whatever we're going for. Our solution is heaven or comes from heaven.
Yes, yes.
Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. And you,
yes.
We need to always remember God is always aware of us. Those of us when our names are written on high, we become His children. We're His sons and daughters. And God is forever mindful of us. David wrote in one place, he said, What is man? You know, why are we even worth the bother with God? And He should, you know, what is man that God should visit us? God should have anything to do with us. But God is always aware of us, watching us all the time. And I guess that's part of our problem. Sometimes we don't want God to see what we're doing.
Yeah,
but you ought to live a life where you don't mind God checking on you
all the time. Yes.
You should live a life so that you're glad that God is watching you. And even when you're not right, you want God to see you when you're not. You ought to want God to see you when you're not right.
Yes.
So God can tell you you're not right so you can get right. You ought to never want to be out of the sight of God. Never want to be out of someplace where, you know, you should never want to be hidden from God.
Amen.
Might want to be hidden in God, but you don't want to be hidden from God.
Amen. Yeah. Yes.
You want to have the kind of life that you don't mind God showing up anytime. You don't mind the Holy Ghost coming in, and you don't sit on the edge of your seat. You know, when you're living right and you're in a righteous church and the preacher's righteous and the Holy Ghost is moving and the hearts and minds are pure, you know, you don't sit on the edge of your seat, because when you're right with God and everybody's flowing in the Spirit, you're not afraid.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
You know, sometimes we go places, we'll sit on the edge of our seat. Sometimes we're wondering, you draw back and you're wondering what they're going to say. It ain't because God, and it's not because you're wrong. It's because you're concerned about the person who's up preaching.
Amen.
You're wondering what they're going to say. But you know, when you're right with God, the Spirit is going to go. The Spirit knows all things. This is things of God. The Spirit knows all things. The Holy Ghost knows all things. Sometimes, when you get this heart, you stop arguing about things with people. You might try to state your case. But after a while, when you know the Spirit knows all things, if people insist on not believing you when you're telling the truth, or people insist on accusing you of something you didn't do, you know, you can rely to God and say, I'm sorry, you want to, but the Holy Ghost knows the truth.
Yeah, amen.
And the Holy Ghost knows what I've done and what I haven't done. And the Holy Ghost knows what I said and what I didn't say. You don't even worry about it. You don't have to go out and find a whole lot of people trying to verify anything. You just say, well, you know, that's what it means. Give place. You know, but rather give place to God.
Yes.
Because the Holy Ghost will take care of it. I thank God for His goodness and His mercy. Thank God that my name is written on high. Philippians says in one place, in Philippians, I think about the third chapter, and he says something tonight. He says, He says, for our conversation is in heaven, our citizenship. Philippians 3 and about verse 20. He says, for our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. From whence we look also for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My citizenship is in heaven. I belong there. I read in Hebrews when it talks about the children of Israel and talks about them looking for a country, a heavenly country,
yes.
A place with hands not whose foundations are made by God. This is where we belong. This is where we come from. This is where we look for everything that we have from heaven. Our concerns go up to heaven. Good and perfect gift comes down from above. The Lord moves for us from heaven. The Holy Ghost extends from heaven. The Holy Spirit dwells among us and carries our prayers and lifts up our concerns to heaven. And heaven is our focal point. I was preaching a couple of weeks ago and I was telling you that heaven is a great equalizer. In heaven, everybody's equal.
Amen.
Everything we do in God extends from heaven through Jesus Christ. And our city, because we belong to heaven, it's important that you know that. And a lot of the things we go through, especially right now, when you consider that, you know, you belong to heaven, you're a citizen of heaven, have faith in God. Don't let things cause you to be too frustrated or go through too much. I was talking to Evangelist Watson one thing today. She said, well, I had a little low point, but I got my Bible. I read my Bible and read Psalm 141, and the Lord just lifted me right up. And that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Amen. God just comes in when you get in the Word of God, and the Lord will lift you up. He's the lifter of our head. God will bring you out.
Yes,
the Lord
yes.
will see you through. Now is a good time not to try and... it's not so much of trying to figure out how to release your faith or how to grab something out of the atmosphere or doing all those things. It's time for you to get a hold of God.
Amen.
And it's time to look toward heaven and do so in earnestly.
Yes.
And a long time ago, back in 2 Chronicles, which is where I am right now, Solomon, and we've read this many times, Israel was always famous for not doing what they were supposed to do. As a nation, and it was really criminal the way Israel would disobey God, because God moved by so many tremendous wonders and signs, and you know they weren't getting healed of just getting healed of a headache. They were being healed by the thousands of leprosy, and God was moving among them, and the Lord was doing all sorts of things. He was causing the sun to stand still and causing the earth to back up and, parting the Red Sea, drying up the Jordan, knocking down the walls of Jericho. I mean, God was moving
for them. Yes, he was.
They had no reason not to obey God. God would come in and he'd send them out, send Gideon out with some lamps and some trumpets and put to flight the whole army of the Midianites or whoever was coming against them, and ran them all off, and what was left, the angel of the Lord came down, slew 85,000 of them, and they never even lifted up a weapon. God was with them.
God was with them.
You know what, some people, if you're not careful the way you do God, there are some people, you can do what you want to for them, and they will not change.
Yes.
There's some people who won't appreciate you. I don't care what you do. And there's some people who won't obey God, no matter what he does. God sent his only begotten Son to die for us. Raise them from the dead, and yet people won't serve. We're out, we're preaching, and we're teaching, and people will believe everything. Me and Ellis Smith were looking at something last night. It's disturbing on this QAnon or whatever. I wanted to know what it was about. QAnon? I was looking at this series last night, and really, it's basically nothing. And yet, there's so many people who are grabbing onto it, and it's basically nothing. It's kind of whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, if it's not demonic and if it's not from the devil, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Because the devil always brings confusion. And nobody in it has to, from what little bit I got, I told Paul, I said, I like to watch the rest of it, and at the same time, I don't, because I want to know what it's about, but it's disturbing because nobody in it seems to have the same mind or see it in the same light.
Yeah.
But you know that's not God because, you know, when God, there's no confusion. Everybody sees everything the same way.
Yeah,
and the devil's just got them all just going on, you know, and he doesn't mind that none of them, the devil doesn't mind that you don't agree. Because as long as you don't agree, you will come to nothing.
Nothing, that's right.
So I was looking at that last night, and I was thinking about us, and, you know, and today, and there are different things that we go through tonight. You know, you might have some things going on in your house. You might have some things going on in your personal life that your wife doesn't even know about. I'm not talking about you out running around anything. You just got some concerns.
Yes, yes.
You have things going on in your life. It's not always sin.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk about people having things going on in life, everybody automatically says, well, I wonder what they're doing. They don't have to be sin.
That's true. That's right.
You know, just being on earth, you don't have to, you know, there's something, you know, like we will, there in Hebrews, Paul told the children of Israel, after they had gone into Canaan, he said, there remains yet a rest.
Yes.
He said, and if Joshua had been able to give them the rest, he said they would not have to keep on sacrificing. They would have to go there.
Right.
And there remains for me a rest.
Yes.
And the Lord comes in and blesses me today, and the Lord will bless me tomorrow, but yet there is still a rest.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
There comes a time when I won't have to worry about silly people. And he said, well, who are you calling silly? Anybody who doesn't have God.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
So who are you calling silly? Anybody who doesn't have God.
Amen.
It's silly not to have God.
Yes.
And all the things that they do, and the Lord sees us through. It's like he sees us through like he saw Israel through when they were in the wilderness. And the whole time they were out there, people make it like to make it look like they were really suffering really bad. They were really going through it. Yes, there was pestilence and bugs and things, but you know what? The people didn't get sick unless they fell in sin, and the people's clothes didn't wear out, and the feet didn't get sore, and they didn't get tired, and didn't, you know, and all these things. And until they decided they were not going to obey God, they were doing just fine.
Yes, that's right.
They were going on in God, and He had something for them, and they were going to it. But it was them who kept hindering themselves and wouldn't go through and wouldn't do what God would have to do. And it's that way with us now. Yeah, we're on earth, and yes, there are always things going on all the time, but God is here.
God is here.
And the Lord is busy. Tonight I want to encourage everybody. Make up your mind, first of all, that you're in God.
Yes.
Make up your mind that you're in God.
Yes.
Make up your mind that there is God. Make up your mind that there is heaven. Make up your mind about the Holy Ghost. Tell somebody. Turn to them and say, I got the Holy Ghost.
I have the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Spirit dwells in me. Tell someone, I got the Holy Ghost.
I got the Holy Ghost.
God gave it to me,
yes.
Then make up your mind, I'm a child of God. I'm in love with God. And when the Bible talks about blessings for the people of God, make up your mind. I'm one of them. And don't let somebody come say, well, that was for those people back in the Old Testament. Anything God has for anybody in the Old Testament, He has for me.
Yes, amen.
God's people in the Old Testament, you know, as the Bible says, if you read Galatians, it says, everybody who has the Holy Ghost, I don't care where you. He says, it doesn't matter where you came from. If you have the Holy Ghost, you are a son of Abraham.
That's right, yes.
Bible says everybody who has the Holy Ghost is a son of Abraham. So when he talks about those blessings, don't come tell him. That's just for the Jews in the Old Testament. Well, you know, if you want to go with that, you can.
Yeah.
But I want to look at Chronicles tonight for a few minutes because Solomon was praying a prayer, and Israel would get into what they were into because of sin. Now, tonight I'm praying, and I'm hoping that whatever you're going through, if it's because of sin, the answer is easy. Repent.
Amen. Yes.
If you're going through because of that, that's an easy solution. I can tell you the answer to that right now. Repent.
Repent, yes.
And then ask God to move for you.
Amen. Yes.
But Israel was going through, and he points out all these things. He says in one place, he says, if armies should come in and overtake the people and drag some of them off and carry them off in foreign lands.
Yes.
He said they should pray from wherever they are.
Yeah.
He says, would you hear their prayer? And tonight you said, well, we're not being conquered by an army. No, but the devil will come in from time to time and carry you off some place that you ought not be. Sometimes you'll have a mind that you ought not have.
Yeah.
You'll have an attitude that you ought not have. You'll have some frustration that you ought not have. He'll carry you away. Right now, you know, as the churches are coming back out of COVID, the devil has a lot of people not wanting to come back to the house of God.
Yeah.
Their minds have been swept away to another place.
Yeah.
They're not where they should be. And Solomon asked the question. He said, if any of us should be carried away by the Assyrians, about the Midianites, about the Philistines or whoever, he says, what will you do? He says, if they'll turn towards you and pray, will you hear them in that state?
Yes.
And the Lord said, I'll hear them.
I'll hear them. Amen.
If you're frustrated, you're carried away, and your mind is drifting, and you're not as in tune with the Lord as you need to be, and your hunger and thirst for righteousness right now is not as strong as it ought to be, and your enthusiasm for being in the house of God or singing the songs that belong to God, and you're just drifting, you've been carried away.
Yeah.
And what you need to do is you need to turn your mind back towards God. And he says, what if a pestilence should come? If you read the whole chapter, tonight is not a Bible study, it's just an inspirational message. So you're going to have to go back and read this chapter. It's in Second Chronicles, all about chapter 8. Chapter 7, chapter 8. And he names all these different things. And if you look down at them, he says that if they have a plague, you know, like right now we're going through a plague.
This pandemic,
it's a plague.
It's a plague.
Solomon says if a plague should come against the people, he says in about verse number 28, he says there'd be a dearth in the land. There'd be pestilence, there'd be blasting or mildew. Just all sorts of things coming against that you have no power over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, none of us have power over COVID.
No,
we didn't ask for it, and it didn't come because we were in sin. And somebody would say, this is God's judgment on the earth. No. It's not his judgment of me because I'm in God.
Right.
At the very least, it might be, I'll tell you what it is, if you really want to know, why God let COVID come? To cause you to turn toward heaven.
Yes.
Why does God let things come in your life, period, that are beyond your control? To cause you to turn toward heaven. If you got something in your life tonight that you can't control, you know what it's there for? To make you turn toward heaven. Anytime things come in your life that you have no control over, you have no power over, the answer is turn toward heaven. Turn towards God. There's nothing that God doesn't have power over. There's nothing too hard for God. He upholds all things by the word of his power. By him all things consist. If tonight there are things in your life that you can't control, I don't care what they are, and you're going through, it means it's time for you to turn towards God. I didn't say you wasn't saved. But you have some things going on that you can't control. Turn towards God. I didn't say you didn't have the Holy Ghost. But you have some things that you can't work out. Turn towards God.
That's right. Need my help.
Give them to God. And he said to them, if all these things, caterpillars or their enemies besiege you or whatever, and he says, or whatever sickness there be in the last line, whatever sickness there be, uses the word whatever. Whatever comes their way to afflict them, no matter what it is. He says, if they will turn, and then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of them, all the people of Israel, what everyone shall know in his own sore, his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in his house, then thou hear from heaven thy dwelling place. Whatever they're going through, I need God tonight.
Yes.
To hear from heaven.
Yes.
I need the Lord tonight.
Yes.
To hear from heaven.
Yes.
Amen.
I don't need to write to one of the political parties. I need God to hear from heaven.
Yes.
I voted for, but that's not my Savior. I need the Lord to work this out.
Yes.
I'm tired of all the lies, wherever they come from. I need the Lord. I know this is not heaven. I know this is earth. I just need a little quiet and a little rest for a little while. I'm not bringing on it. I'm not doubting God. But I just need God to move from heaven.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, we know that when heaven comes, we'll be all right and everything will be satisfied. But in the meantime,
yeah,
while we're journeying
yes.
from the Red Sea towards the Promised Land, when we get to the wilderness, we need some water from time to time.
Yes.
We need some manna from time to time.
Yes.
We need some meat from time to time.
Yes.
We need the Lord to restore us from time to time.
Yes.
When they were upset because they didn't have any water, they were fighting with Moses, God didn't get upset. He said they're out here in the middle of the wilderness. He told them, just give them some water and set them down.
Yeah.
They need a little refreshment from time to time.
Yeah.
And from time to time, you need God to just come in from whatever state you're in and just refresh you. You're not starving, but you need a refreshment. You're not sick, real sick, but you need a refreshment. And you're not in deep trouble, but you need the Lord to refresh you from time to time. You need the Lord to give you some water from the rock, that rock of Jesus.
Yes.
You just need the Lord to just settle you down and just let you sit down for a moment, just have a little rest and a little peace for a little while. You know when heaven comes, I'm going to have peace throughout all eternity. While I'm waiting, since I'm a citizen of heaven, just let me rest for a minute.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Solomon asked God. God said, he asked him, he said, will you hear it? He says, I'm down here on earth. And if I go through all this pestilence and all these things happening that I didn't bring my way, and they're not here because I caused them to come, he says, and I'm in my house, he says, well, whatever sickness there is, whatever affliction there is, wherever it came from, however it came to be, he says, will you hear from heaven? Now this has to make sure, first of all, that you believe in heaven. Your mind has to be made up about heaven. There's no need to be talking about being a citizen of heaven if you're not sure about heaven.
That's right.
It doesn't matter about prayers going up to heaven if you're not sure about heaven. It doesn't matter about anything he's saying if heaven isn't, if you aren't absolutely sure about heaven. And you need to take a moment and say, am I sure about heaven?
All right.
Because when you are sure about heaven, you stop worrying about earth.
All right.
When you're sure about heaven, a lot of things in earth you don't even consider anymore. So he told God, he asked God, he says, and the Lord says, then thou hear from heaven thy dwelling place, in the 20th verse, forgive and render unto every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the heart of the children of men. In other words, as I said when I first started, God knows all about me. See, that's the point.
Yes, he does.
There's never a time I was speaking to someone today and they were having a difficult time. Talking to Ellen Harrison, water all through the church and it flooded and pipe broke or whatever it was. And she was saying, you know, this is really difficult. And I told her, the Lord knows that you have that problem.
Yes, yes.
God knows you have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord will see you through.
Yes, he will.
You know, pipes, you know, things like that don't have to cause you in sin. It's just earth.
It's just earth.
And they old, they break. It doesn't even take the devil to do it.
No.
They just wear out. God knows what. You know what it reminds you of?
That's right.
It lets you know that earth does not last.
Yeah.
It lets you know that things on earth are temporary.
God
reminds you that everything on earth wears out. Everything goes in, including these bodies.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it. And God sees when you go through things like the Lord sees. And the Lord is looking to see how you handle it.
Yeah.
To see if you look toward heaven and say, one of these days.
That's right.
I'm not going to worry about that anymore.
Because
the Lord's going to work everything out. This is not something I'm going to have to worry about.
Amen.
God's going to see me through.
Yes.
And Solomon asked him this question. And then he had this great prayer on the other side in 12. And everybody knows this. Matter of fact, we can almost recite it verbatim without reading it in chapter 7 and 12. And the Lord appeared in the Solomon. You need to let the Lord come here and
appear to
you.
Me, yes.
Yes, yes.
He doesn't show up in a bodily form or however, but when the Holy Ghost comes, the Lord will show up. And the Lord will say, it's going to be all right. And the Lord will say, this is going to work out. And the Lord will say, you're going to be all right. I want to encourage everybody, like, let the Lord show up. And tell you it's going to be all right. Let the Lord show up and tell you, if you'll do what I say do, you will be all right. Now, one of the problems that we have in not being all right is we don't want to do what the Lord says do.
Right.
We want to do like Saul. He told Saul, he said, go out against these Amalekites. He said, kill every one of them. He said, because they ain't going to never serve me. He said, kill every man, every woman. Kill every boy, every girl, every cow, every sheep, every goat. He said, kill everything they got. He said, because they're the sort of people that are so evil. He said they're never going to be right.
Yeah.
And when the children of Israel were coming through the wilderness, the Amalekites were not honorable people. They would attack Israel from the rear where the women and the children were. They'd come into the weakest side. And God decided that they would be a people who were going to be erased from the face of the earth because they were never going to serve God. They weren't going to serve God. They weren't going to teach their children to serve God. They weren't to why kill all the cows and sheep? Because when they offered up sacrifices of the cows and the sheep, they were going to offer them up to another God. So God said, get rid of everything they got. Not only get rid of them, he said that all their sheep and their cattle are pledged to something else. He said, nothing they have is going to ever be mine. And I need you to get rid of every bit of it. That's what we need to figure out about the world. Nothing in the devil is ever going to be God's. And God will have you get rid of every bit of it. And you shave a little bit because you say, that's not so bad. And I can use it and God will understand. But when God says get rid of something, it has no worth to God. It has none now and it never will.
No worth to God.
And when Saul came back to Samuel, and Samuel said, Saul, why have you disobeyed God? He said, I can hear these sheep that you were supposed to get rid of, and I can see these women that you decided to keep. He said, and you kept Agar, which is the head of them, and he says, of all people, and you call yourself keeping him for a trophy. God didn't ask you to keep no trophies in Samuel.
No, he didn't.
Get rid of every one of them. That's why you don't keep the pictures of you in sin. That's why you don't keep all the remnants of sin. That's why you don't keep the reminders of sin. That's why you get rid of the old love letters and you get rid of this and you get rid of that because you don't want any trophies left over from sin.
No.
And because of that, Israel had to fight the Amalekites all the way up to Esther's time. They were still around. That's where Haman came from. So when God calls, he says, he appeared unto Solomon, he said, I heard what you said, and you told the people that no matter what they were going through the night, Elder Jenkins went through a hurricane 3 years ago. Emmanuel's just not getting restored. God saw that.
Yeah.
Saw the hurricane. Yeah. Saw it coming. She wasn't in no sin. Emmanuel wasn't in sin. But God lets things like that happen so people turn toward heaven. So what, are you saying that she wasn't turning towards heaven? He wanted every one of us. It wasn't just for her. It's for all of us. When things like that come, we're all supposed to turn toward heaven. Might not be my house blown away, but if the house next door blows away, I'm supposed to turn toward heaven. I'm thanking God that mine didn't blow away. I'm thanking God for keeping me, but I'm turning towards heaven. Might not be me who has COVID, but COVID should make you turn towards heaven.
That's right.
Everything that happens should make you turn towards heaven. Our remedy for everything in the earth, they sing the song. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. You know what? We need to turn towards him. And he appeared to Solomon. The Holy Ghost came. God came to Solomon. It says God himself appeared to Solomon. However he did it. And he said to Solomon, he said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself, a house of a sacrifice. He said, I've heard your prayer. Now, during Solomon's time, Solomon is dedicating a temple during the time of the law, and the temple also houses the Ark of the Covenant, and on the Ark of the Covenant is the mercy seat. And the only people who go in and pray and go before it are the Levites on the outside, Aaron's sons on the inside, and only the high priest goes into the holiest of holies. But since Jesus has come along, Jesus has broken
Tore
down the wall of petition, I don't have to have Aaron's sons going to pray for me. And I don't have to have Aaron going and offer up a sacrifice. I have the temple right here. It's right here, and the Holy Ghost dwells right here. But at Solomon's time, God comes in and he says, I've heard you, and I accept this temple as a house of sacrifice. Don't you know when you ask the Lord to wash your hands, he'll forgive you? Don't you know when you ask God to come in? He says, I've heard you. And I accept your temple as a place of sacrifice. He's referring to me and my spirit. He says, when you ask the Lord to save you, he says, I've heard you. And he says, I'll come in. And he says that from this place, talking about my spirit, it's a place of sacrifice. And the only sacrifice he accepts is Jesus Christ. And when I come in Christ, the sacrifice is fulfilled.
Yes.
But in Solomon's time, he's dedicating this building because under the law, this is where the Holy of Holies was. And God told Solomon, he said, I've heard you. And I've come in and put my name here. He says, you asked me about all these problems. And then he says, if I shut up heaven, he says, if I allow things to happen.
Yes.
You see, God's totally in control. Sometimes when you look at what's going on in the earth, you tend to forget that God's totally in control. And,
and if
you're not careful, you'll think that the devil is just running forth, you know, without any constraints and without any, just doing whatever he wants to do. Satan never is able to do any more than God allows him to do. And he, and even though the earth seems to be in an uproar, God is still in control.
Yes, he is.
It is for the people of God and all of us who are called by his name, all of us in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. It's for us that we are the salt of the earth. We're supposed to turn toward God.
Yes,
but a little while. And the Lord still has a few more people that he wants to save, be that few or many. And there's still someone for our light to shine to. And there's still someone for us to tell about God. There's still someone for us to testify the glory of God. And there's still someone for us to say the Lord is everything. And God is our great God. And there's still someone for us to tell about God. There's still someone to be saved.
Amen.
There is more on earth. But we can't do that if we don't realize that, you know, when God says to Solomon, he says, if I shut up heaven, in other words, he says, if I don't send rain, he says, and then the reason why he says, because I'm the rainmaker. I'm the person who, you know, he says, you know, the devil is the prince of the power of the air, and you say the thunderstorms and all those things coming up, well, the earth is travailing because of sin, and yet, within all that, God is still the person who's in control. He's not bringing the storm, but he's the one who's making the ark float. He's not bringing all the weather, but he's the one who sees you through the storm. The earth travails because of sin, and that's supposed to make us look toward heaven. When we go through, we're supposed to look towards heaven. This is the past. She reminds us, and someone might say, well, why didn't God give her a miracle? Some people get miracles. Other people God uses to remind us that we're mortal. Some people get healings. Other people remind us that you can have faith in God in this mortal body. And even if you get a healing, it's temporary. Some people are healed, I think, because they couldn't stand otherwise. But there are many people, regardless of how it does, everything is to the glory of God. If you get healed, to the glory of God. Of course, everybody wants to get a healing. But some people stand as a testimony to God, whether they get healed or not. They go on in God and give glory to God. Some people God uses, they don't live as long as you think they should. It lets us know that we're mortal, and it lets us know that we're kept by his power and mind. So God says to Solomon, he says, but there's something you need to do. He says, if I allow heaven to be shut up, that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence among my people, if I allow all these things to overtake you, allow COVID. COVID is a reset time, and I'm looking at the saints of God. There are two sets of people who are in God. There are two different sets. Actually, it's three. There's a set of people that COVID, there's a set of people that COVID has caused to have a relaxed stand in God, and they're reevaluating. They're not sure whether they want to come back to the house of God or not. And they're taking it kind of easy, and they're wondering, you know, and they're saying, maybe, you know, if all this is going on, you know, where is God? How is God? There are those people. And then there are the people on the other end of the spectrum who are trying to deny COVID. And they're the people who are determined that I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm going to go wherever I want to go, do whatever I want to do, and, you know, and I'll just, if God is God, just let God try me. Those are the people who, you know, jump off cliffs. And then you have the people that when things like COVID come, you know what we do? We turn toward heaven. And it makes us say, we're not going to be here forever. And we look towards heaven, and we make up our minds, there ain't nothing we can do but call on God. When we see things in the political climate like they are in the United States and the things that are going on right now, there are those of us who don't worry about it. We just say, we're just going to depend on God.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that we don't vote. We go drop a vote in the ballot for who we think is the best one, but the person we're really depending on is God.
Our vote
don't stop the devil.
No.
It is God. Mm-hmm. And so he says to them, whether it be pestilence or whether it be drought or whatever it is, he says, I need you to do something. I want to ask everybody, like God said, I need you to do something.
Yeah.
He said, if my people, and I'm one of God's people. Are you one of God's people?
Yes, one of God's people.
Where's the thing that's on? Whose side are you leaning on?
Yes.
Leaning on the Lord's side.
Yes.
He said, if my people, the people who are called by my name, the people who belong to me, the people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the people who are citizens of heaven, the people in whom the Holy Ghost dwells, the people who've repented, the people who've asked God, who asked the Lord to save them, and those who believe in Christ as death, burial, and resurrection, if my people, my sons, my daughters, the ones that belong to me and glorify my name, if my people, he's not asking the heathens to ask for anything. And he's not depending on the liars calling on him, and he's not depending on all the sinners calling on him, and he's, you know, and even though the land, the pestilence is over everybody, he's not depending on the people who don't believe in him calling. He says, if the people who belong to me, if my people who call by my name shall humble themselves, what do you mean that the people who are called by his name aren't humble? Aren't we humble? What do you mean that the people who are called by his name aren't the ones who are listening and praying? What? If my people would do what humble themselves, if my people, the ones who belong to me, if I would humble myself, you know, instead of saying, well, you know, what will be, God's got it under control. And he says, yeah, I know I got it under control, but, you know, you need to come to it, and you probably need to pray. So when God's going to see me through, he says, yes, you know, I know you feel that way, but, you know, do you mind asking me? I don't mind you having it, but do you mind asking me to help?
That's right.
I don't mind helping you, but do you mind asking me? Do you mind having a change of mind? If my people who call by name, would humble themselves, he says, and pray and seek my face. I've made up my mind. COVID is all about telling people seek
God's face. Amen. Yes.
What we're going through right now is all about telling people, seek God's face.
Amen.
Now people are seeking God even less.
Yeah,
yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They're using it as a reason to say, well, you know what, I'm doing all right with God. I don't go to church as much as I used to, and I'm doing all right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't pray as much as I used to pray, and I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
And I don't fast like I used to fast, but I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
How are you doing all right with things going on the way they're going right now?
All right.
He said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, make up your mind. You know what? In these difficult times, you know what humbling yourself is? When you say, in these difficult times, I need God more. My house hasn't been wiped away by a tornado, but I still need God more.
Yes.
Because tornadoes are out there. They're happening more often than they used to.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten COVID yet, but I need God more.
Yes.
Because it's out there in different variants, and maybe we haven't even seen the last one yet. This is the time to say, well, no one's shooting up my house. No one's throwing rocks at my car yet, but I need God more. Because the rock throwers are out there. Nobody shot up the mall while I was in the mall, but I need God more. Because the shooters are out there. This is the time to say, I need God more. Because these are perilous times, and I really need God. I need it more than ever. He says, if they would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. In other words, in our case, we're not talking about sin. We're just talking about stubbornness. Just won't come to God. Going through, you know, I'm not going to say to anybody, there's never time when we just, Bishop Smith don't ever worry. Yes, I do, just not for long. Yes, I do, just not for long. Until verse 12, and the Lord appeared. It's just until the Lord appeared. Sometimes the Lord appears in Paula. And she'll say, it's going to be all right. Sometimes the Lord appear in Elder Reed, or you know, if the Lord really appears in Evangelist Watson, she'll walk in and say, God, I've got everything in control. The Lord appeared. Sometimes the Lord appears because you're reading the Word of God. Sometimes the Lord will appear because you hear a song. Sometimes the Lord appear, the Holy Ghost just comes to your mind. Sometimes the Lord appear while you're in prayer. Sometimes you'll go up in tongues and all of a sudden the Lord appears. He just eases your mind and the Lord appears. It's not that this, you know, you say, well, I don't ever worry about a thing. Everybody has, you know, you need to have some concerns. You know why? That turns you toward God.
Yes, it does.
You need to have a few things come. You know, don't worry. There have no trial and no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. And God's not going to let you be tried above that you're able. We'll make a way for you. Able to bear it, but make a way for you to escape. Don't worry. He's not going to let the devil overwhelm you. Don't worry. COVID's not going to overwhelm you. Trump's not going to overwhelm you. God will keep you if you'll stay in God. God's a keeper.
Yes, he is. Amen.
Holy Ghost is a keeper, though.
Yes, it is. Yes.
But when it comes, it'll trouble you for a while, because David wrote, we've been made to do it for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
So he says in this, he says, if they'll turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from that place again. I'll hear from heaven. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I hear from heaven. Father, I stretch my hands towards thee. No other help I know. Then will I hear from heaven. And thou withdraw thyself from me. Whither else shall I go? Then will I hear from heaven. He says, if you'll turn toward me, need a house, turn toward me. Need a job, turn toward me. Need a healing, turn towards me. Need things worked out, turn towards me. And God specializes in things that you have no answer for. Sometimes our problems don't just have one little angle. They have this that has to be worked out before you can even get to that one, which has to be worked out before you can even get to that one. And they're layered and layered. And all these things have to be peeled back before things can work out. And what you just need is, you need God to just step in and give you a miracle. You need God to just step in and send the rain. You can say, well, you know, in order for it to rain, there first of all has to be evaporation from all the lakes and out of the trees. And then it has to go up and rise up to the stratosphere or whatever. And then it has to condense. And then it has to form a cloud. And then the cloud has to reach a certain temperature. And then the rain has to fall. And you can just ask God. God, I need rain. And God will do all of it. Instead of you step by step, what all needs to happen in order for you to work out, you just need to ask God. I just need the Lord to just move a little bit so I can fix it. I just need the Lord to move a little bit so I can... No, I just need God to fix all of it. I'm not shooting three arrows. I'm shooting every arrow I got. I need God to come in and just fix all of it. I don't need to win a few battles. I need the Lord to work all of them. He says, if you'll do this, give me a board. He said, if you'll just, and it all comes down to, if you'll just pray. And seek my face. I guess the reason why he says, seek my face and pray, because he says, don't just come to prayer, but seek my face. Don't just get on your knees. Seek my face. Don't just, fill out the hour. Seek my face. Don't just, show up for the formality so somebody would say, you don't have to come to prayer. No, seek my face. And pray. And he says, and you got this guarantee, Evangelist Watson, he says, you got this guarantee. If you will seek my face and pray, he says, I will hear from
heaven.
He says, I will hear you in heaven. And I'll fix whatever you got going on. Whatever your land is. Praying for Sister Nancy tonight. She needs God to heal her land. She's got a problem that's way beyond anything we can fix. She needs God to heal the land. Praying for Ella Paulette tonight. She needs God to heal the land. Work things out. Continue to pray for Ella Jenkins. Lord is healing her land. He's working things out. He's God in the land. We promise tonight. We need more members. We need God to heal the land. Pray for all the things we have going on. Pray. Maybe tonight you just need, maybe the land you need to heal tonight is your mind. Need God to heal the land. Pray for Minister Smith tonight. Dug it over there. God, heal her land. Work things out with her and her son. Just heal the land. You don't have to be starving, but you still need something. You might not be, you know, destitute, but you still need God to move. You know, they were still living. They weren't dead, and yet they needed God to step in and heal the land. Might not be on the corner with a sign tonight, begging for pennies, but you need God to heal the land. There's some things you need God to work out, no matter what they are. And we're grateful to God that the things we need Him to work out are not what we consider life-threatening, but we still need Him to work them out. And we glorify God because we love to see God fix things. You ought to just love to see God fix things. You ought to just love to watch God work. Just be amazed at His power and how He moves. And God does things in such a wondrous fashion tonight. Y'all just want to give things over to God and turn to God and say, Lord, you know, heal my land. Heal my land. Come in, oh God, and heal my land. Fix this over here. Fix that over there. Lord, just whatever I touch, just fix it.
Fix it, Lord.
Whatever concerns me, Chandra, whatever concerns you, you ought to want God to fix it. You know, we can be doing all right. But earth ain't heaven.
But it's not heaven.
And we can be doing all right and still have great want. And great need. We need God to come in and fix the land. And God says, I'll do it for you. If you'll seek my face and pray. Turn from your wicked way. In other words, change the way that you're doing things. You like to send the Haggai, everybody stand. He told the people of Israel, of Judah, he said, consider your ways. Haggai told him, he said, consider your ways. You know what we need to do tonight?
Consider my ways.
We need to consider our ways. We need to turn towards God.
Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, our land needs much help. Lord, it's just not our land that's in the country or, you know, the earth or whatever. Our land, whatever pertains to us. You know, whether the land is our mind, our house, our situation, our relationships, our family, our friends, our land, whatever it is, Lord, belongs to us tonight. Our relatives, our sisters, our whatever it is, God, our land, Lord, what belongs to us, our land, oh God, Lord, our land is healing. Oh God, we turn toward you tonight, oh Lord. Lord, we seek your face, Lord, we're looking for you. You're the only one. That you said, whatever sickness there might be, whatever. Lord, you said you would heal it tonight. Lord, heal tonight. Lord, stretch forth thy hand, Lord. Lord, if it's these bodies healed, Lord, if it's this mind, Lord, heal it. Lord, if it's our family, fix it. Lord, whatever it is, our careers, our whatever they are. Lord, give us peace of mind. Move it out. House, our neighborhoods, our everything. Lord, whatever we touch on earth, Lord, move it. Lord, we want nothing in whom in which you are not found. Lord, we don't want anything pertaining to us that you are not in. Lord, I pray, Lord, hear us from heaven tonight. Lord, hear us from heaven. Lord, you are our Father. Lord, you are in heaven. Bless your holy name. Lord, hear us tonight, oh God. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Stretch forth thy hand, oh God, and heal our land. Lord, we are tired of the news of how earth is going. And Lord, it wears, oh God. Lord, increase our faith. Renew our spirit, oh God. Heal our land, oh God. Lord, add to us. Lord, I pray that put joy in our hearts. Lord, restore the joy, oh God. Lift us up. Return the joy, oh Lord. Look at our spirits afresh, oh God. Lord, heal the land. Lord, cause us to turn our eyes toward heaven, oh God. Cry out a cry of faith, oh God, unto thee, oh Lord. Heal our land, Lord, whatsoever it may be. Work things out. Lord, fix that church for Prince of Peace. Move for Sister Nancy, Lord. And Lord, lift her up. Lord, give her a miracle, Lord. I pray, Lord, bless her in every way, oh God. Lord, move for Elder T. Angela Ross. All those, Lord, who, Lord, just need you to really move. Lord, we need you to move. Lord, we cannot do it. Lord, it is beyond us, oh God. Lord, there is nothing too hard for you. And Lord, we depend on you. Lord, there is nothing too hard for you, Lord. With you, all things are possible, oh God. Lord, we lean and depend on you. Lord, whatsoever need be that we should do, Lord, we will do. Lord, we will seek your face, oh God. Lord, we'll turn from our ways. We'll change, oh God, to what we need to change. Do what we need to do, Lord. Lord, we just need you to hear from heaven and heal our land. Lord, I pray that, for we are your people. We belong to you, Lord. Your name is in us. Lord, your spirit is in us. Lord, our names are written on high, oh God. Lord, they're in your book. Lord, I pray, Lord, hear us from heaven tonight. And hear our name. In Jesus' name. Lord, we know that in that great day, Lord, he's going to come from heaven. Lord, we're looking for Jesus to come. Change these vile bodies. Be like unto his glorious body. But until that time, Lord, you said that he that has begun a good work in us is able to perform it to the time we see him. And Lord, we are depending on you. Lord, if you do these things, Lord, we'll testify. We'll glorify. We'll say this is what the Lord has done, and it is marvelous in our sight. And we'll give you all the glory and all the honor. We'll give you all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.